I have been blessed to be able to listen with many of you predominantly in this COVID season, the preaching of the word on Wednesday, and it's been such a blessing. But I definitely wanted to share the word tonight because Wednesday before Thanksgiving has a special, special, special meaning to me. I remember during the holidays when Tamara and I, the first year we were here, and my nephew, we were in the back, we were in the North Sanctuary, and we were in the back, and we had an evening service, and there was hardly anybody who came, and I just remember, even with the few people that were there, how special it was to me that that God had been so gracious to me and Tamara and called us to this place. And I knew back then it was a special place, and I am, been here with my wife serving for 20 years. I can't believe it's been that long, but it doesn't seem that long, but it's been just such a blessing. And I want to say right out of the gate, I just want to say thank you, God, for allowing Tamara and I to serve here, and for us to be pastors here. It's been such a such a privilege, such an honor, such a gift, such a blessing, and we just thank God for you. Almost all my texts will be out of Philippians. Philippians is a book that Paul writes in prison, and yet it's so full of wisdom. It's so rich, and it's so full of just incredible insight. And I'll tell you right away, the main insight that Philippians has is this. Rejoice in the Lord and be grateful. And so I want to talk about gratefulness, and I want to, I've got just some points that I want to talk about tonight that I know will be a blessing to you. Philippians, let's go to chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. That was our chapter today, so we were in a good place. And we're in Philippians 1 again. My first point is this, or let me give you my sermon title. My sermon title is Giving Thanks, comma, the Key to Happiness. Giving Thanks, the Key to Happiness. Now, I don't know necessarily, Joel, can you give me a bottle of water? I don't know necessarily that happiness is the right word. I could say giving thanks the key to contentment, or I could just say the key to a good life, or but happiness will suffice because you understand what I'm talking about. You want to be happy. You want to be content. You want to have a full, rich life. Make a decision that you want to be grateful. And it's not in my notes. It's not a point, but I guess it's a point because I just made it a point. Gratefulness is a choice that we make, and you've got to, we'll see it in the text, but we've got to separate ourselves from the roller coaster ride that most people walk in. And the roller coaster ride is, you know what, if they're having a good week, great. If they're having a good week, then if things are going well at your job, if, you know, then you're happy. But if there's some negative things going on, if you get a flat tire, if you get a bad report from the doctor, if your finances aren't doing so well, whatever the circumstances is. So it is where we become a victim of circumstances. And if our circumstances are up, then we're up. But if our circumstances are down, we're down. And we live a life on a roller coaster. And Paul is a great example to say, hey, get off the roller coaster. Stop living in a low-level life where your life is dictated, watch this, not on Christ. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but it's okay. Not on Christ, but on circumstances. And if you live that life, I'll tell you what, you are going to, and let me tell you how Satan just feeds into it. Because, listen to me, I don't know who am I speaking to, but I'm speaking to somebody. Please, please listen to what the Spirit of God is trying to communicate to you this Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Because, you know what, we just get in this rut, and God has called us to live a life of victory, live a life of contentment, live a life of joy. Christians ought to be the most joy people. Sometimes I don't finish my sentences. People should look at Christians, and we should be the most happy people on the face. People ought to be just scratching their heads going, I don't know what is with these people, but they are so happy all the time, and it doesn't even make any sense because I know their circumstances aren't that good. Hello? Listen, and I'm not saying that God doesn't deliver us. The Bible's clear. You know what? The Bible says that the afflictions of the righteous are many, but out of them all, God delivers us. So I'm not preaching that God won't deliver you out of your circumstances. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we need to disconnect from this lifestyle, this lie from the pit of hell, that our joy, our contentment, our peace, our happiness, who we are is connected to what's going on around us. I mean, I'm telling you what, that is just absolutely, we are setting up ourselves for misery. And God says, no, 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 no. And again, I'm teaching you my last point right now, but that's okay. We'll circle around and get back to it again. But my point is that it is Christ. It is in Him we live and move and have our being. Paul says, you know what? To live is Christ. That's what I'm about. And so because of that, he's right in the middle of a jail. He's bound in chains. And yet he writes the most joyful letter in the whole New Testament. And why? Because chains are just the circumstance in his life. How many know this is going to be a good night? Number one, we need to recognize that we have, we need to recognize what we have and be grateful for what we have. We need to recognize what we have and be grateful for what we have. Look at this first verse. It's so, you know what it is? So as we read it, it really is, Paul says, follow me as I'm a follower of Christ. You know, there's some people that are just in their relationship with Christ, they're just rocking it. And when you get around those people, it's a wonderful thing because they bring you under conviction. Paul is this way. And as he's writing, look at this. He's just crazy in love with these Philippians. And it comes across. Look what he says. Chapter 1, verse 3, I give thanks upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. He says so much here, but I want you to catch the fullness that he has towards these people. I thank my God, gratefulness. Somebody say gratefulness. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You know what that means? That means he looks over and he sees one of the wardens, you know what, eating an ice cream cone. And he remembers, hey, I remember when I was back with the Philippians and we went to Thrifty's and we had ice cream together. Now, I don't know that they went to, you know, obviously they don't go to Thrifty's, but he is remembering in the course of time certain people and the church in Philippi. And every time he does, you know what he says? He doesn't hear is what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, oh man, I'm in jail. I sure would like a Rocky Road ice cream right now. That would be so good. No. That's not his focus. You know what his focus is? Oh my goodness. You know what? That reminds me of that time that I was hanging out, you know what, with Becky or with Kimberly or with Brian or with Frank or whoever. You know what? Some of these names are way more complicated than that, but you understand. And he's saying, man, I remember. And when he remembers that, you know what he does? He does this. Here's a watch what he does. He says, oh, man, God, thank you for Kimberly. Father, I just thank you so much. She was such a blessing. Father, thank you for Brian. Father, thank you for Frank. Father, thank you. As he's remembered every time, that's what it says. Every time he remembers these people, he stops and says, oh, God, I give thanks for these people. Now, if that's not enough, watch this. If that's enough, then what else does he do? Look at verse 4. Always, always. Somebody say always. Always. See, he's always doing this. Why? Because these people are on his heart. Always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you. What does that mean? Here's what that means. He gets lunch. You know what? He's praying over his lunch. Father, thank you that you bless my bread and water. Take sickness from amongst us. Oh, Father. And I thank you for the Philippian church. I thank you for those people that, they've been such a blessing to me. Every time he prays, he comes back to these people. Every time he thinks of them, he gives thanks for them. See, I'm fully convinced that one of the things that we need to increase, somebody say increase. And I'm talking to Hope Aminians. I'm talking about the family of Hope. Yeah, that's clever, huh? Somebody say, our pastor is creative. So these, I believe that one of the things that we need to increase at Hope is our love for each other and our gratefulness for each other. Amen. Amen. I was listening to the worship team and I was thinking, man, thank God for the worship team. Amen. Amen. I was thinking, and one of the things I do on Saturday, I text people, remind them about the service. But it's such a blessing as I text people, you know what? I thank God for you as I'm texting you. I think, oh my good, thank. And each person I text, I thank God. Well, I think we all need to do that. I think that one of the things, I was talking to Isabel the other day, and I said, Isabel, what is the best, the most valuable commodity that we have at our church? And she said, well, are you talking about people? Or are you talking about, you know, like the grounds? And I said, well, anything, all of it. And she said, well, people. And I said, that's exactly right. People are our biggest commodity. And in Paul's example, you know what I see? I see somebody that is not going to not notice the giftings that he's been given. And he sees that these people are been given to him. He sees his responsibility to them, and he is not going to not notice. I think sometimes the reason why we don't walk in the fullness that we're called to walk in, and I'm talking about just your life. Your life would be way more better, not good English, but good theology, way more better if you would just be more grateful for the body of Christ, for the family of Christ that God has put you in. Not a casualness. I get so upset with these Christians that are just casual about their church. It's like, oh yeah. You know, no, whoa. That's not how I want to be. That's not how Paul was. That is not our example. That's not how Christ was. Amen. God didn't withhold anything from us. How in the world could he, when his son is asking if there's another way, how in the world did God the Father tell his son, there is no other way, son, you have to go to the cross. You know why? Because it wasn't okay that he, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be in eternity forever with all the angels without you and me. Amen. And so Paul recognizes these are saints. These people are valuable. We're valuable together as a family. And I won't think of you that I won't say, oh, thank God for you. I won't pray a prayer that I don't include you in my prayer. Number one, we need to recognize what we have and we need to be grateful for what we have. Well, I guess I'm not done with number one. The main thing that we have to be grateful for, listen to me, in our very materialistic society, please, please, please catch and be aware of the materialism that is around you. I can't convince you of what I'm saying, but the Holy Spirit can convince you of what I'm saying. What I'm warning you of is a materialism that permeates our society, and it can very easily attach itself to us if we let it. Can I tell you a story? I'm ashamed to tell you this story, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. I have a shirt. It's a white shirt. I loved everything about it. I love the material. I love the, it was very light. It was long sleeve. I love long sleeve white t-shirts, and it was one of my favorite. And it had a swoosh on it. Nike swoosh. How many know God will use anything to convict you of sin? And I'm ironing it, and as I'm ironing it, as I'm getting the wrinkles out, with the iron, how's that one? I kind of wasn't paying attention, and I demolished the swoosh. The shirt was still white. The material was still light. It was still long sleeve. But I was bummed out that I kind of swooshed the swoosh. The swoosh became more swooshy. The swoosh was so swooshy you couldn't even recognize anymore. It was the Nike swoosh, which bummed me out. And I never forgot that, because the Holy Spirit used that to convict me of a materialism that really had no place in my life. Amen? I'm not saying that it's all out, but how many know the beginning of fixing things is recognizing that there's a problem? You know, hello, Houston, we have a problem. You know, hello, church, I think we have a problem in the church. in that, and we don't even know, and that's one of the biggest problems. We don't even recognize, we don't even realize, we won't even recognize that the materialistic society that we live in, and we need to recognize it, because Paul, although he's grateful for all kinds of things, he's most grateful, what we notice that he's noticing is the main thing he's giving thanks for is not his needs being met physically, and God meets our needs, and we thank God for him, and we should thank God for him. But the main thing that he's noticing and giving thanks for is these saints of God that are in ministry with him. Amen. Are you learning something tonight? Number one. Number two, gratefulness will help you put things in perspective. Somebody say perspective. See, it's all about, thank you, it's all about perspective. It's all about understanding what's really going on. Sometimes we don't even have a clue what's going on. And gratefulness will put you in perspective. Here, let me show you what I'm talking about. Swoosh on down to verse, verse chapter 1, verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. What happened to him? He became imprisoned. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. I'm sorry, guys, I just said 13, but go to 14 if you can. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains. Are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You know, sometimes we're fearful and Satan's bark is much bigger than his bite. Do you understand what I'm saying? And these people were afraid and scared and intimidated. But when Paul gets thrown into prison, there's two points here. But the second point, which I'll say first, is all these other people saw that it wasn't that big deal. They saw him actually thriving, and ministry started to explode because, listen, we can't let people intimidate us. I'm very concerned. I don't know who this is for, but somebody listen to me. I'm very concerned with the intimidation, with the bullying that is taking place and that I believe is going to be put on the church. And we have to rise up against it. Amen. This shaming, that to believe that to be pure according to God's standards of purity, to not say that we can have that sex is dependent upon anything that I feel like doing. That there is that the only standard of who I can have sex with and who I can't have sex with, actually there is no standard to who I can't have sex with. And the only standard of righteousness or morality is that no one can tell me that I can't. And we start letting that intimidate us. I'm not advocating not wearing masks. I'm just saying. I go into Albertsons the other day. Tyler was going to Albertsons, going to get some stuff for Tamara. And Tyler said, hey, you know, Dad, you want to go with me? And I was like, yeah. You know what? So I jump in the car, but my mask is in my car. So, you know what? We get there, and you know what? And I'm like, oh, man, do you have an extra mask? Tyler's like, no, I just got my mask. I'm all like, well, I won't go through the line up front, but I'll just go shopping with you. You know what I mean? Because I know they'll freak out if I get it on. Oh, are you kidding me? You know what I mean? And it was just weird. You know what I mean? Because I don't know how to explain it. All I know is that I need to be a good pastor to you, and I need to tell the church that we need to toughen up, because it concerns me how that we're not tough enough for the battles that are going to be in front of us relatively soon. That's just free. But you need to receive that. And so Paul is in the middle of prison, and he has this perspective. Watch this. But that perspective comes out of his gratitude. See, listen to me. Catch this. If you are not grateful, you won't see things that are good in the midst of the junk. See, that's what he sees. Gratefulness will bring perspective. And so he's in the middle of jail, and he's recognizing that that there's this flourishing taking place, because now all these Christians aren't so intimidated by the boo, by the bully, by the, we're going to throw you in jail. They're like, so what? Throw us in jail. You know what I mean? Look at what's going on with Paul. He gets in jail, and he's getting all kind of people in jail saved. You know what I mean? How in the world do you get people saved unless you get in the jail? That are in the jail. And that's what Paul's saying. Are you kidding me? There's two things happening. One, all these people are being empowered. And two, now I have an opportunity to minister to very influential people that I never would have been able to minister to. How does he get that? You're not going to get it. Well, how does he get that? He gets that with gratefulness. And you're not going to get that by whining in your materials, complaining about, you know, I guess God doesn't love me, I guess, you know, because I'm in jail. Why does God care about all this stuff? I don't have time to preach it. I already preach it. Listen to the tape, or listen, go to the website, listen to it. Be careful that you don't judge God as not caring for you. Don't do that. And when you come to, when you have gratefulness, you bring this perspective, and all of a sudden, that gratefulness, you can see, oh, that's a blessing. Oh, watch this. Oh, that's a blessing. Oh, this is a blessing. Oh, that. All of a sudden, you see all these blessings in the midst of, how come nobody else can see it? Here's why. Because gratefulness brings perspective. And all of a sudden you can see things. All of a sudden he sees things and says, wait a minute, don't be bummed out. There's blessing upon blessing because I'm in this position. Are you learning something? Number one, we need to recognize what we have and be grateful for what we have. Number two, gratefulness brings perspective. And Paul's able to see. Number three, gratefulness... I don't even know what this is, but I'll say it like this. Gratefulness shuts up complaining. Gratefulness shuts up complaining. Let me tell you why complaining is so evil. Somebody say, complaining is evil. Be careful that you don't recognize a $100 bill is a $10 bill. Do you understand? So you have a $100 bill. You know what? You go to the grocery store. You buy some chips. You buy some soda. You buy some apples. Got to throw some good stuff in there in the illustration. You buy some apples. You give them $100, but you didn't pay attention that was $100. You thought it was $10. They give you back your change, and you say, oh, no, this is too much. I just gave you a 10. They scratch your head and go, oh, okay, and you lost a lot of money. What's my point? You need to pay attention to what is and what it really is. Complaining is one of the most evil things that you can do. And here's why. Because you can't complain that you don't start to question the character of God. Complaining is an indictment on God's character. Write that down. Tweet that out, somebody. Complaining is an indictment on the character of God. And it exposes your lack of faith, which is just trust God. When you complain, you're proving to others that you really don't trust God. And so you need to recognize what it is. Well, gratefulness shuts up the complaining. You can't walk forward and backwards at the same time. Amen. You can't. you ever hear these country songs? And right in the middle of the country, these country songs crack me up more than anything else. Right in the middle of the country song, they'll start talking. You know what I'm talking about? Well, you know, when I first saw you, I just really fell in love with you. Those just crack me up. You can't sing and talk at the same time. You're either singing or you're talking. Amen. You can't sing and talk in the first time. You can't go forward and backwards at the same time. You can't complain. You can't complain and be grateful at the same time. Or better yet, saying it this way. It's a better way to say it. You can't give thanks and complain at the same time. Now, you can complain. You can give thanks and complain in the same day. Oh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Of which, James says, you should not do that. Really, you shouldn't do that. From your same mouth should come blessings and cursings. You shouldn't do that. But if you will decide to see what is so obvious when you read Philippians, you know what is one of the things that is so obvious? Paul is not complaining. He's in jail. Are you kidding me? We get a hissy fit. Not even if the car has a flat tire. We have a conniption if the tire is a little low. And we gotta go to Salgado and I gotta stop by Salgado. That's a tire company, by the way. Right down the street. What? Salgado. What did I say? Whatever. See, we freak out on stupid things. Yeah. Amen. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Thanksgiving. Pastor, what do you want? What do you want to eat tomorrow for Thanksgiving? Here's what I want to eat. I want to eat a bean and cheese burrito from Taco Bell. Amen. Why? Because I believe that here, I'm not saying that this happens. I'm not saying that it's never happened in my home. But I don't know who am I speaking to, maybe several people. And you're going to have a conniption because, you know what, the rolls, you know what, got burnt. So what? Get the rolls out, let them dry. You know what? Give half to, you know what? One half of the family. Give half to the other and have a roll fight right in the middle of the. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, stop focusing. Tomorrow, give thanks. Let tomorrow be the first day of the rest of your life. Let this message not just be a message, listen to another message from Pastor. No, God is speaking to you a word. Yeah. We need our life to change. Paul is giving us a great example, a great model, he's showing us exactly how to do this. And we need to understand, if you will start to give thanks in every situation, it'll give you perspective to see things you never saw. And if you'll start to go there, here's what's going to happen. You'll stop complaining. Complaining is so toxic. And what it does is it creates, understand this, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And the Bible doesn't say life is in the power of the tongue. The Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. You know, listen, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. You know what? Be anxious. If you're anxious for something, don't be anxious for anything. But everything with prayer and thanksgiving, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Tell God, oh, thank you. And what are you doing? You're praying in faith. Oh, God, I don't know what you're going to do, but if you can, but maybe not. I don't know. Never know what God's going to do. Sometimes it does, sometimes it don't. You just never know. Amen? Mama, just throw it out there and maybe he'll do something. Well, James says, no, he won't. That's what James says. He says, don't even expect to receive anything from God. Stop praying prayers of doubt and unbelief. Stop just throwing stuff. You know, just throw it up against the wall, thinking it's going to, you know, oh, I wonder what'll stick. You know, and stop praying like that. Amen? Start to pray. You know, the Bible says the prayer of faith is going to, you know what, heal the sick. Amen. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You cannot give praise. And listen, and for some of you, you just are in a habit. You're just in a rut. You learned it from your grandma complained, your great-grandma complained, your mom complained, and you complain. And you need to get out of that rut. Well, I'm teaching you how to do it. Just start to give thanks in everything. You start to give, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And you, because you can't go, you can't complain, you can't give thanks and complain at the same time. When you give thanks, it'll shut off that complaining. Are you learning something? Number four, our gratefulness must be grounded in Jesus. I'm grateful for everything God provides for me, for my financial needs, for my physical needs. I'm grateful for everything. I'm mainly grateful in the pecking order for people, but I'm mainly grateful for Jesus. Watch this. It's right. It's all in Philippians. Philippians, let's go to chapter 4. Chapter 4. Look at verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me was flourished. Again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. They had given to Paul, given to the ministry. Then some things happened that they couldn't get it to him. But then it started to flow again, and he's grateful for that. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. That's what I started talking about, the very start. Learning to be content, not on circumstances, but on a consistency. He's learned in whatever state he is to be content. Well, what is the key? He's going to tell us the key. Look, I know how to be abased and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. What's the key? Well, it's one of the most famous verses we quote all the time and sometimes have no idea in the text of how powerful it is. Then he says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I've learned that it doesn't make any difference. God will take care of me. So if I'm in a situation where I'm in need, I know that God is going to take care of me. That's not the point. I've settled that. The main focus, how I've learned this, is because I understand the character of God and who He is. I have a relationship with God, and so He strengthens me in whatever situation I'm in. And please understand this. You can be, because we know this from the Word, because we see it in Deuteronomy, the warning, that not only can we get away from God when we're in need, but we can get away from God when we're in prosperity. Sometimes that is the warning in Deuteronomy, is when I bless you with all these things, he says, the New King James says, beware lest you forget about me. Flip on over to chapter 3 and look at verse 3. I'm teaching the same thing. Look at verse 3. For we are the circumcised who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. Although I might also have confidence, verse 4, in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he is have confidence in the flesh, I so more. Now he's going to start to talk about who he was. All these things that he's accomplished. Circumcised in the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was like skinny jeans, all that, and a bag of chips to the Hebrews. Of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee. The law was a big deal, and the Pharisees had the law down, and that's what he was. Concerning zeal persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which was in the law blameless. Paul's like, let me tell you what, I had it down in every situation. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss of all things and count them rubbish that I might gain Christ. Listen, you got to make up your mind in life because you can't hold on to everything. And there's things that God is going to ask you to let go of. And you need to let go of what he's asking you to let go of. Why? That you might hang on and gain Christ, because Christ is what's going to cause you to be grateful, content, full of joy, full of peace, all this stuff. But there's so many Christians who, I'm talking about people who call themselves Christian. Be careful, because just because you call yourself Christian don't mean you're a Christian. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that, but I love God. You say, oh, but Pastor, I love God. Well, the Bible says that if you love God, you're going to be obedient to God. Amen. The question isn't, does God love you? The question is, do you love God? That is the question. And you need to not take that question for granted. You need to have the integrity to look at how you behave. Because, you know what? How you behave is indication of what's really going on in your heart. Amen. He says, let me tell you what, I've learned to be content. Why is he so full of joy in the middle of prison? Here's why, because he understands Christ is everything to him. Christ is with him in that jail. So it gives him perspective. He's content in Jesus Christ. All this other stuff, I think Paul would look at the American church and go, oh, rubbish, man. I think he'd look at us and go, why are they hanging on to rubbish? Don't they understand? That's rubbish. You know what I mean? Why are they hanging on to that? You ever throw trash away and in the trash is like, you know what? They, you know, it's like there's stuff in the trash, like, egg salad, and, they clean out the refrigerator, and it all meshes together. Can you imagine the word picture? Can you imagine grabbing that stuff and like, Paul look at you like, what? Why are you hanging on to rubbish? Why don't you wash your hands and hang on to Jesus, the author and finisher and perfecter of your faith, the one who loves you like no one else loves you, the one who gave his life for you. That is the value. That is the one who's going to cause you. Guys, understand, we are only here for a little while. I keep on saying I'm going to preach this sermon. But I'm going to preach this sermon where I teach you about letting go of your life and really living. Number five, my point five. Here's my point five. I love my point five. You know what my point five is? One more thing about gratefulness. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 8. No. Yes. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. If there's any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know why he's praising God in jail? Because he's meditating on all the good things. I got one more thing to say. You can't focus on good things and complain. And so when you focus on good things, you're going to start to praise, going to thank God, and your whole life is going to go in the right direction. Listen, Paul is not doing anything new. Paul is not doing anything new. This is who he is. Acts chapter 16, verse 22. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the majesties tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. Somebody say, beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, many. Here, I'm just asking, do you think that hurt? You think they're in pain right now? You think they have bandages? You think they have Neosporin? They threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Why? Because that's what they did. This isn't new in Philippians. This is just who they were. They're going to rejoice, give God praise, thank God for who he is. They are connecting with the one in whom all blessings flow, and they're praising him. Watch this. Immediately all the, verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And then I have this underlined because there's little things in the Bible you got to notice. And the prisoners were listening to them. Did you catch that? They're like, what the crack? What's going on? Why are these guys have beaten? They're probably in there. They get beaten. They come in. They're bleeding. They're bloody. They obviously can tell they've been beaten. They put them in, and they're watching all this. What's going on? And then all of a sudden, you know what? Peter and Paul and Silas are like, give thanks with a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. They're like, yeah, the worship team is here. They're doing a great job. So they're like, what? And what happens? Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Thanksgiving is going to loose your chains. I don't mean this. You know, it trips me out how some people, everything is figurative. This is not figurative. Can somebody say amen to this? This is literal. It really broke the chains. Amen. And whether chains in your life have to be broken in a physical reality, or whether there's some things figuratively that you're chained up that you need to be broken, God will do it literally, and God will do it figuratively. May we be people of gratitude. May we get perspective. May we stop our complaining by our praise. May we notice everything, but especially the wonderful people that God has given us. May we not take anyone for granted, especially in this church. I mean, anyone. God has placed us, every one of us, strategically in this body. And we need to be grateful. And may we never, ever, ever get caught up in the materialism to hang on to things that are absolute pure rubbish and we don't even recognize it. May we let go of those things to cling on to Jesus. May we be people of praise, that we would sing praises, that people would notice, oh my goodness, I don't know what's with these people. They are always giving praise to God. And people will notice. I can't tell you how many people, you know what, have noticed in my life. And it's hard for me to express this, but people are watching, and they're watching you. And I'm not saying that you're going to get it perfect every time. I'm not saying that life isn't irritating sometimes, but what I'm saying is you can't praise God and complain at the same time. And you can start to develop a life, an attitude of praise, where that's just who you are. That's who. What is Paul and Silas doing? They're doing the same thing. They're doing the same thing inside prison as they were doing outside prison. Do you understand? That's just who they are. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that this is not just a Wednesday night message, but this is a word from God that will change your life forever. Father, I thank you for those who are listening, that they have taken the time to say, no, we're not meeting together, but we're meeting together. That the word of God is absolutely critical in my life. And may tomorrow, may we repent of anything we need to repent of tonight before we go to bed. And may we wake up tomorrow refreshed, recognizing that tomorrow is the first day of the rest of our life. May we be an example to others. May we be grateful for everything you've done, but especially for Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen, amen, amen.